mitzvah Yud Aleph, where we must say Chametz Birshusein of the Pesach. We'll take a quick look through the mitzvah. You know what, maybe I'll wait with a quick look through the mitzvah for next time, because I'm a little rushed. I have to catch Mincha at the 8:10 minion. So maybe we'll do the quick look through the mitzvah next time. The core mitzvah is that we shouldn't have Chametz in our Rishus. Chametz should not be found in our Rishus. And we say, as the Gemara notes, that the rule is, take a look in source Aleph, La'ira'elacha sa'or, shalcha i'ataroa, yours you may not see, aval ataroa shalacher mishal gavoa, but you are permitted to see chametz that belongs to other people, and chametz that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So the question that I want to address tonight is the question of what exactly shalcha means. What qualifies as yours? With some very interesting results. When I first started along this avenue, it looked like it was going to be a little bit arcane. Some very interesting points, including a key challenge to the nusach of the bittul chametz that we use. Now, just on a methodological point, we use the term shalcha, lecha, and we say that means shalcha, to exclude both chametz of other people and chametz of the Beis HaMikdash. And that troubles Tosfos. How is it that we make two exclusions out of a single pasuk? So Tosfos asks that question in source base. This is a Tosfos in Menachos. Actually, before I do the Tosfos, first the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh on this in Simon Pei Gimel addresses the question by saying that here one pasuk suffices, whereas regarding the Chiyuv in Chala, where we say that challah that belongs to a non-Jew, or challah that belongs to challah from Hekdesh, is pater from challah, there we require two different psukim, because regarding challah, there are cases of dough that's not yours, for which you are still obligated in challah. In other words, Ivan owns dough. If I want to eat from the dough, I have to make sure challah was separated. I have an obligation on his. So I can't make a clear-cut rule of your dough is chayav, no one else's dough is chayav. It's not true. Other people's dough is. If, on the other hand, some non-Jew owns dough, that dough is not chayav and challah. Right? I buy whatever it is, some cookie or whatever it is that's made by a non-Jewish company. There's no chiyuv to separate challah. It's only from the Jew stuff. So therefore, I need a specific pasuk for each exception. Whereas when you're dealing with chametz, it's anything but yours is fine. I have no iser of bal yimatzeh for anybody else's chametz, including the chametz of another Jew. Whether I have to get rid of it to help him out or whatever, that's a separate ballgame. But under bal yirah, bal yimatzeh, I have no obligation to get rid of somebody else's chametz. Therefore, one pasuk suffices, that's the lecha, to exclude all other things. And this reminded me of something we had seen in Daf Yomi as well last week. The Tosfos in Menachos talks about the rule that you create the lechem haponim even on Shabbos and even betumah, and the Torah says te'aseh, it shall be made. Actually, I don't think it's lechem haponim. I think it's the chavitin. Was the discussion? Yeah. So te'aseh afilu b'Shabbos and betumah. So Tosfos there says hadim afkinan hacha mechad kra Shabbos v'tumah. The fact that we exclude here Shabbos as well as Tumah, and we say you make it even on Shabbos, even B'Tumah, and you use one pasuk to teach me that. Hayinu mishum de goli rachmana gabe pesach the darshin b'moado afilu b'Shabbos v'itzrach krachrina gabe Tumah ish nidcha vein sibur nidchin. He's asking a question here. Why is that elsewhere you require two psukim? And his answer is that elsewhere v'nira the hayminayu mafkes teshkulin heim v'lo damol pesach. He says because they're equal as far as the law of the chavitin is concerned, making the chavitin even on Shabbos, making the chavitin even betumah, the point is it overrides everything. And I see no reason to choose Shabbos or to choose tumah as the lesson of te'aseh. It's everything. So that's it just reminded me of that in this Shagas Aryeh on our point here. We are excluding everything. The only chametz for which you are liable is that which is yours. So the first question that when we ask the question of what does yours mean is partnership. This would be a remarkable kula Imagine this. Instead of selling our chametz before Pesach, instead we all line up to become partners with each other in each other's chametz. We all will do various kinyanim, and I will acquire a share in Ivan's chametz, Ivan will acquire a share in my chametz, and presto, now we don't have to get rid of anything before Pesach. Could I argue that chametz that's owned in partnership isn't considered yours? You follow the question? Why? On what basis? On the basis of the Gemara Bava Basra. Gemara Bava Basra regarding Esrog. Amar Rabba Barav Huna, source Gimel. Ha'achin shekanu Esrog betfusas habayis. If brothers who have not yet split their inheritance, they own property jointly, if they acquire an Esrog, nalo echad mehen v'yatza bo, im yachol ochlo yatza, v'im lav lo yatza. If one of them picks it up and wants to use it for the mitzvah, the rule is that if it's his, to the extent that he could take it and eat it, and the others wouldn't have a taina on him, in other words, it's truly his, yatza. V'im lav, but if not, if it's owned in tandem with the others, lo yatza, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of esrog. You follow? It's not called yours, Lohem, right? It's not called yours. This is all discussion about the Shul Esrog. Right? The Rashbam there on the Gemara Bava Basra explains that when you have a Shul Esrog, so everybody is in agreement that the person who is holding it right now is the owner. Which is kind of funny. But that's the idea of the Shul Esrog. But the point
nobody
is...
nobody will mind if he eats it.
Maybe you can bet he's not holding it next year. On that basis, I should be able to say regarding chametz, if it's owned by you in tandem with somebody else, then you don't have to get rid of it for Pesach. On the other hand, we do seem to assume that partners are chayev for chametz that they own. The Taz writes that if there's a yard owned by partners and it contains chametz, we have to discuss who is responsible to do the elimination of chametz. It's clear that we don't say, well, it's okay, it's owned by partners. Further, regarding matzah, Tosfos in Sukkah says, you are yotze with jointly owned matzah. If you take a look at Source Dalid, I'm not going to read it through actually now because we're a little short on time. But Tosfos there in Sukkah says regarding matzah that as long as you own a kezias, you're good, even though it's jointly owned. So joint ownership does not take it away from you. So the Pnei Yehoshua asks, why not? How do I work this? And that's source hey. And the Minchas Chinuch quoted this as well, but didn't walk you through it. The Pnei Yehoshua does. He says, Kashya li, this is problematic for me. Ha'ech efshar lomar, de'b'chamech shel Yisrael chavero eino over. How could you tell me that I don't violate Bal Yimatzeh if I have another Jew's chametz in my domain? In kain, if so, amaylo maisi b'perak reishas hagez aliba d'rabi eloi d'mamay mi lecha afilu shutvas Yisrael. In the Gemara in Chulin, there we say lecha means that if it's jointly owned with other Jews, then it's not in whatever mitzvah is under discussion. Ilav hecha de'ikari buya, unless there's a specific expansion to include it. V'im kain b'chamit nami lifter rushal shutvas b'ay chamit yishu b'pater if it's jointly owned. Ella al karachach the chametz lesa b'chol hanach klala. The answer must be that chametz is not subject to all of these rules about yours versus somebody else's in terms of partnership. Kevin da filu b'shal Yisrael chavero chayav. Since there is discussion, if you are responsible for another Jew's chametz, you're going to be chayav for it. It's called b'chol gevulcha in your domain. We only exclude if you do not have the capacity to destroy it, if you're not able to. So he says chametz is in its own category. It's not subject to these rules of Shelcha. But it's too bad, because that would have been a very good heter, to just have jointly owned chametz. So the partnership idea doesn't work. What if chametz could become yours in the future? The chametz right now exists. You have a right to ownership, which you have not exercised. What about that case? Take a look, please, at source Vav. Gemara Msachim. Mishnah asks, Ketzad mafrishin chala bituma biyomtov. How do you separate chala if you are tameh and it's Pesach? Okay, the problem being you can't communicate tuma to the chala you want to separate once you call it chala, right? So what do you do? Rabbi Eliezer Omer lo tikra l'shem ad she'teyafeh. So Rabbi Eliezer says you bake it first, and then you identify it as challah. First bake it, even though ordinarily the rule is you're supposed to separate it as challah when it's still dough. In this case, you're going to bake it when it's not yet challah, and then you identify it as challah. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, lo zehu chametz shemuz harin olav bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. What's the problem? This isn't bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Ella, rather, mafrishto manichto ara erev v'mechmitza achmitza. You can just separate it off. It's challah now. It's not mine. I'm a Yisrael. I'm not entitled to it. So therefore, I will separate it off. I'll call it challah. And if it becomes chametz, it's not my problem. That's the answer that that Rabbi Yeshua offers. So the Gemara asks, Lema betovas hanoa kemifliki, is this debate about whether the challah is considered mine or whether it's not considered mine, is that really a debate about tovas hanoa? Remember what tovas hanoa refers to. Tovas hanoa refers to the minimal benefit that I get from the fact that I can steer my truma, my challah, whatever, to a particular kohen. Okay, so that kohen is makir tov. That kohen is grateful to me, and at some point I may get a favor, maybe even a small payment, for the fact that I'm steering my matnos kahuna his way versus to some other kohen. So is the debate about whether I recognize tovas hana'a as having value? Rabbi Eliezer savar tovas hana'a mamon. Rabbi Eliezer says tovas hana'a is considered substantive, therefore the challah is yours, because you will have theoretical tovas hana'a from steering it to this kohen versus to a different kohen. And therefore the challah is yours, and therefore you can't let it become chametz. That's one possibility. Rabbi Yeshua savar tovas hana'a eina mamon. And Rabbi Yeshua says that tovas hana'a is not, and therefore it's not yours, and therefore you can do what you want. Is that what the machlokas is about? Tosha Gemara says, lo. Dekulei alma savri tovas hana'a eina mamon. Everybody agrees tovas hana'a is not money, and therefore ostensibly the challah isn't yours. Well, then why is it that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't want me to let it become chametz? So here's one addition in this Gemara. The Rabbi Eliezer savar, v'hacha b'hoil kamiflagi, the debate is regarding hoil, a claim of since. What do you mean? The Rabbi Eliezer savar, amrinan hoil v'iboi itshel Allah m'monehu. Rabbi Eliezer says, you know, even after you designate it as challah, you have the ability to back out. You could get hataras nedarim. You go to Beis Din and say, I didn't mean to designate this one, I meant to designate that one. You have the theoretical ability to do so. So since you could do that, and then it would revert to your possession, therefore it's considered to be yours. And that's why you can't let it become chametz. Rabbi Yeshua Sabar Law Amrin and Hoel, and Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe in Hoel. So according to this edition, which is the standard edition in the Gemara, it's a remarkable idea. Not only am I chayav for chametz that is mine, I am chayav for chametz that could become mine, were I to do Ataras Nedarim. That's a wild statement. Right? That's a very strange idea. Take a look at Tosfos, who asks the question. Is that really true? Then ata roa shalachem b'shal gavoa. We say, Sur Zion, that you're allowed to see chametz that belongs to other people or belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. Why should that be so? V'ashal gavoa nami chashiv kishalo. That's like yours. Holy v'yimitshal alei. Because you could always do ataras nedarim. What do you mean when you say this classic line that we saw in Source Aleph, that I'm allowed to see hekdesh's chametz? Hekdesh's chametz could be mine tomorrow if I do ataras nedarim. So if you're going to tell me that you believe in Ho'avi Boy Yitzhal Alei, that now it's considered mine, then how am I allowed to see the Beis HaMikdash? It's not just the Challah case. This is all Hektish. So Tiritz Re, the Re answers, Eicha da'asa Hektish liyada gizbar, lo amrinan Ho'al u'bi boy Yitzhal Alei. He says, once the Hektish gets to the Beis HaMikdash's hands, at that point we're not going to employ this Ho'al principle anymore. We don't say you could redeem it. Because if he was going to redeem it, he would redeem it. He hasn't redeemed it. Otherwise, the non-Jewish chametz in the store is now you're in violation because there's chametz in the supermarket. Right. Because theoretically you could have bought it. How far are you going to go with this? Once it gets to the Beis HaMikdash, I no longer have these concerns. The Minchas Chinuch also quotes the Ketzos HaChoshen in Choshen Mishpat Reish, that giving it to the Gizbar is a Maisa. And therefore, your speech doing Ataras Zarim can't cancel out the Maisa of having given it to the Gizbar. So maybe it really is beyond your control at this point.
Well, my famous comments wouldn't be a big major problem with buying it back.
I mean, no joke. I mean, this dynamites everything.
Right.
But this is all within our edition of the Gemara. So based on our edition, there is a notion, at least until it gets to the hands of the Gizbar, that if I could do Ataras Nedarim and get it back, it's considered to be mine already right now, and I am Chayav. Got it? And that's why I can't let the Chala become Chametz. Leaving aside the Tumah discussion in that Gemara in Suras Vav, just because it's not going to pay for us right now. Rashi is horrified by this idea. This whole V'Yibay Mishalei. He says, it makes no sense. What are you talking about? Take a look at Suras Ches. Umegamgeim libi Allah. An unusual phraseology for Rashi. He says, my heart is uncomfortable with this. V'nira ba'enai, de'ein ho'il v'zeh v'dabar she'eno shalom. There ain't no ho'il on sign that ain't yours. The name of ho'il v'yiboy ma'isi le'ber shusei sins, you could make it your own. Din kain, hektish te'kaimel an'avalat ha'roah shalgavah, the exact question that Tosfos asked in Sor Zion. Right, v'lo palig rav Eliezer. Eliezer didn't have any qualms about atarah shalacher mishal gavala. Ha'yiboy parik lev avididei, but you could have redeemed it; it would have been yours. V'av sugya d'shmaisa lo miyash v'shapir. And also, our own sugya doesn't work well that way. Ukud de meduma de perish akasuv bereisha d'shmaisa. Ho v'yiboy mishal alei lo garcina. He says that whole line. That doesn't belong. That's not the correct edition. Elohachi Garcina, this should be the edition. Rabbi Eliezer, who's the one who says that you can't let it become chala. Rabbi Eliezer, let it become chametz, thank you. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Amrinon Hoil. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Lo Amrinon Hoil. It's not holy by Mitchalah, it's just the word Hoil. And it's an entirely different point. Vahi Perusha, here is what they're saying. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Shari Le'efosa. Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to bake it. V'avagav desov sov ika chada delo chaz yalei. Granted that I shouldn't be able to bake it because it's Yom Tov. And one of these is Chala. And therefore it's going to the Kohen. And therefore it's not Ochel Nefesh for me. That's the objection. Rabbi Eliezer says, hey, you can't bake this if one of them is going to be usher to you. And the answer is, that's okay. He believes in Ho'il. Ein kan iser malacha. There is no iser malacha. Ho'avachol chad v'chad v'chaz yalei. Because each one is suitable for you. You can take a little bit out of each loaf when you separate challah. So Rabbi Eliezer's position is that you first bake it and then identify challah. Because, after all, the end result is that any one of them could be mutter to you. So I believe in ha'wil, that kind of a ha'wil. Rabbi Yeshua savar lo amrinon ha'wil, and Rabbi Yeshua does not accept this ha'wil idea. Da sofo litol achas mehen l'chala, because in the end he's going to take one of them and designate it as chala. I don't care that you don't know which one it is right now. Hilchach, therefore, kevah de tovas hana ena mamon v'lo avar alas. So Rabbi Yeshua's position is that it's not considered to be yours right now, and you're not in violation. So manach tada erbi sefena, just leave it until the evening, and then burn it. That's the position that that Rabbi Yeshua takes. So that's the way Rashi reads it. So our edition believes in holy boy mitchel Allah, that you could do ataras nedarim. Rashi does not believe in doing hataras nedarim. There are many practical applications for this machlokes, as brought in the Minchas Chinuch. One practical application is Maiser Sheni, outside of Yerushalayim. I can't eat it, right? On the other hand, I could do Ataras Nedarim, to revoke my designation of this produce as Maiser Sheni. So if I have Maiser Sheni Chametz on Pesach, outside Yerushalayim, am I Chayav for it or not? If I believe in Holy Boy Mitchal Alei, I am Chayav. If I don't believe in Holy Boy Mitchal Alei, I am Potter. That's one case. The Minchas Chinuch notes that according to the Shagas Aryeh, Truma and Chala will not be practical applications, in fact. Why? Because we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that Tovas Hana'a, is that the owners have Tovas Hana'ah. Granted that the Rambam says Tovas Hanah is generally not considered Mamon, here it is. Because of Lo Yimatze. Lo Yimatze says, I care about things I don't normally care about, and therefore it's automatically considered mine. That's the way the Minchas Chinuch renders it. Bikurim, he says, would be a nafkamina. Because we hold that you have to give it to the Mishmar, therefore there is no Tovas Hanah, but there is Holy Boy Mitchell. You could revoke your designation of it as Bikurim. What's the problem with this line in the Minchas Chinuch? The Minchas Chinuch says Bikurim could be a problem. What's the problem with that? Yeah, what are you talking about, Bikurim? Bikurim is Shavuos. So the Minchas Chinuch says, yeah, hypothetically, in the event that you have produce that grows before Pesach, you know, theoretically, you could have designated it, and you could end up with Chametz Bikurim. But that's a real long shot. That you're going to have Chametz Bikurim? Unless it was Bikurim from last year, maybe.
But it doesn't have to be from the Chadash?
Yeah, it would have to be from the Chadash. So you did this illicitly. You processed it inappropriately beforehand, and it became Chametz, and it's a little bit of a stretch. I can't really list that as a practical application. But also he mentions Isurei Hana'a. What about items from, not Isurei Hana'a, sorry, Nidrei Hana'a. What about an item from which you vowed you were not going to benefit? So, Isurei Hana'a, that which you're not supposed to benefit from, is not considered yours. He said that back in Mitzvah Tes. And granted that there are views that that an Isurei Hana'a is considered to have an owner, and in source Tes, I bring you from the Ritva, this idea that it is considered to have an owner for certain purposes, such as regarding theft, it is considered to have an owner, it's still not Birshuso, it's really not yours. So I could argue that if you took a vow not to benefit from it, then if you believe in Hataras Nedara making you liable, then you're liable for having this on Pesach. But if I don't believe in this Hataras Nedarim thing, then I am not liable. You follow? Okay. So that's all a setup for the really interesting point in all of this. And that is the question of Hefker. How does Hefker work in Halacha? How does it work when you say that something was owned and now is suddenly not owned? Where is the viability of a declaration of Hefker? How can you just make something ownerless? Presto. Ownership and ownerlessness are not simply civil financial terms. There are halachic ramifications like Chametz for Pesach. What is it in Halacha that's recognized? So the Rambam was bothered by this. And take a look at what he said in Source Yud. He said, "Hahefker, aval pi she'eno neder, harehu kemo neder, she'asur lo lachzor vo." He says, making something hefker is like a neder. It's like a vow. I am revoking any claim that I have to this item, and it's a neder to the point that you're not allowed to back out. If you do back out, it's effective, but you're not allowed to. Umahu hefker, what is hefker? Hu sheyomer adam nechasem elo hefker lakol, saying this is open for everybody. As I state the Rambam, the Bach says, if you take a look at Source Yud Aleph, kasev a Rambam a hefker harayu kineder v'azer lachzer bo perish sheyachzer v'yomer ani chozer midiburi. For a person to say, I recant from my words, kevin shlo asisi kinyan, since I didn't do a kinyan, I didn't assign it to somebody else. Ela harayu kineder, dichsiv bo, lo yachel, ela harayu kineder, it's just like a neder. Dichsiv bo, lo yachel devaro. As the pasuk says, you shall not make your words mundane.
There's a practical difference.
Yeah.
In the sense that, if you say, I mean, typically we think of hefker as a person says, I relinquish my ownership in this. And therefore, if somebody comes along and picks it up, he can acquire ownership. And how can he change his mind? If he picks it back up again and he acquires it, reacquires it, he makes a new kinyan on it,
right.
then that's the way
thing is revoking your neder.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying, right. That there's a big difference.
Right.
If somebody says that I make a neder, as if he's saying, I make a neder, I'm relinquishing my ownership from it, and someone comes along and picks it up and he says, oh, I changed my mind,
right.
What happens?
That's our problem. That's an attempt to revoke it, and that's what he's saying is an isser. Yeah. However,
it's an isser, but is it chal?
Right, so the Minchas Chinuch understands the Bach to say that yes, his revocation works. It's usher to do.
So it's a completely, like I said, my previous understanding of Africa was he's relinquishing his ownership and he wants it back. He can pick it back up and make a new Kenyan.
Right. And now
assuming nobody else takes it in there. So
and now we're seeing a brand new way to look at it. The Ran disagrees. If you take a look at Source Yud Beis, the Ran in Nedarim, he says, Mishasha Asra al Atzmo Hifkira. Once you asserted something, once you prohibited something for yourself, talking about someone who took a vow, he's not going to benefit from something, he made it Hefker. The Cholsha Zachabo Acher, Kana. Whoever acquires it, Kazochim in a Hefker. The Ava Pisha Isser Shabo Halach, Ayadei She'ela. And even though technically he tries to do Ataras Nedarim, on his neder of Isser Hana, and now the Isser Hana is voided. Nonetheless, Kinyan Mamono Shalze Eino Bata. You can't revoke somebody else's Kinyan that he made on the item. Sheini Motze Sheila Behefker, because there's no such thing, says the Ran, as revoking Hefker. You can't do that, says the Ran. So the Ran very clearly does not believe that Ataras Nedarim is possible. The Minchas Chinuch suggests that the Ran has a different understanding of how Hefker works, that the Ran doesn't view Hefker as really being a neder, but the Yavetz, Rav Yaakov Emdin, if you take a look at Yud Gimel, Chedusha Yavetz there, says, Ein lo hatara, tehavale neder al das rabim, shel atavasa nadar. He says, the reason why it doesn't work, the reason why you can't revoke it is not because it's not a neder, but because it's a neder al das rabim. It's a typical neder al da'as rabim, right? It's a neder made with the public in mind and on the mind of the public, saying this is for everybody. So
that's not the typical understanding of da'as rabim. It's usually in front of a number of people.
Well, we have that discussion. Does Hefker, does a statement of Hefker, in order to be halachically binding, does it have to be in front of three people?
Right.
We do have that discussion.
Right.
So the idea here, according to the Rambam, is that making something Hefker is a neder. If making something Hefker is a neder, and if I believe that Hataras Nedarim is possible, number one, and number two, if I believe that Hol V'Iboy Mitchell Alei is significant, the possibility of Hataras Nedarim makes something like it's mine, then how do we ever do Kol Chamira? Le'Bata V'Levei Hefker Ka'afra De'ara should be useless. It's a pretty good challenge, no?
Only if you don't recant.
So, the Ketzos, right, no, but
well,
no.
Even, the,
said,
potential
even the potential
right.
to recant.
Right.
So the Ketzos challenges the Rambam. He says, where did you get this idea that Hefker is a neder anyway? Where does that come from?
And the Bach and the Ran agree with him.
Yeah. Well, the Ran may not. We don't know how to take the Ran.
It seems. It seems.
Right. Rav Yaakov Emdin does. The Ran I'm not so sure about. The Minchas Chinuch thinks that the Ran does not take it as a neder. But take a look at the Ketzos here. Ra'isi v'beis Yosef, Rechaim Simen Tafla Medala
b'meshach. Sorry, it says specifically, Al Yedei She'ela Kinyan M'moyne Shozeh Ein Ebato. But it seems that She'ela...
His case that's really under discussion is the case where you vowed not to benefit, and therefore it was like Hefker. And you did Hatara on the vow not to benefit.
It's a real neder.
It was a real neder.
The neder creates Hefker.
Right. His discussion of Hefker came into play as a parallel to the case which you vowed not to benefit. But his Hatara point was only on vowing not to benefit, not on Hefker. And he said pretty clearly at the end, She'eni Motze She'ela BeHefker.
Yeah.
So he didn't say explicitly that Hefker is not a neder. That he did not say explicitly. But the Ketzos says, I saw in the Beis Yosef, Meshekasav Haran, Dishlucho Eino Yachol Levatel. Right? If I send somebody to do Bittol for my Chametz, he can't do that. Dekeven de Bittol mitaras Hefker, since Bittol is an act of Hefker, right, making the Chametz ownerless, Shaliach Lamatzi Levatel, the Shaliach cannot nullify it. Shareim Amar Adam Lachavero, Hefker, Ata Nechos, Hefker, Ata Nechosai, I want you to render my property Hefker, Ein Bekach Klum, that doesn't work. I can't tell somebody else, make my stuff Hefker. It doesn't work. I can do it. Nobody else can. The Kasav Allah Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef wrote regarding this idea that the Ran had expressed, B'taima de Hefker lesei ayidei shaliach, to explain why a shaliach cannot make my property Hefker. D'hainu mishum de Hefker mitaras neder, that it's because Hefker is in fact a neder. K'demuchach perakama de nedarim. And the Beis Yosef said, that is so, as is seen in the first parak in Nedarim. Ucha de kasav Rambam Hilchos Nedarim, and as the Rambam wrote in Hilchos Nedarim, as we saw in Source Yud. The Keva did the neder yeshlo, since it's a neder, mishum hachilam hani shlichus. Therefore, the shlichus doesn't work. Shomer lachavero, kabel alecha neder zeba shlichusi, she'ehei osur bo, eino klum. I can't tell somebody, make a neder on my behalf. That doesn't work. So his point is that the Beis Yosef identifies Hefker as Neder, quoting the Rambam and quoting the Gemara in the first parak in Nedarim. So the Ketzos says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, and there's a longer discussion there where he tries to find the source for this idea. And here he says, right? It sounds like he found the source in the first parak in Nedarim. What could it be? Remember the discussion at the beginning of Nedarim about Yados Nedarim? Right, the language that you use to make something, well, not hefker, but to make something aser beneder, is there a yad for it, and the kinoi, that whole piece. So the fact that they ask yesh yad lehefker or ein yad lehefker, that means they're using neder language to describe how hefker works. Umidamrinan hefker haynu tzedaka, and from the fact that there in the Gemara they compare hefker to tzedaka, alma de umitaras neder. That tells me that hefker actually works as neder. Ella de Beina Yipale, but I have to tell you, I'm shocked by this idea that that's your source. Nobody commented on the Rambam and said, "Yeah, Ayin Sham Nedarim Dav Zayin." No one said that. About and further, the Kavan the Iboyelahu B'Shas Yesh Yad LaHefker V'Olsa B'Teku. He says in the Gemara there they don't have an answer whether there is Yad for Hefker or not. V'Ayin Sham Biran Dekas Av Tzveika LaKula. We don't know what to do, so we go LaHakim. Imkin Muchteinu Mitaras Neder Utzdaka. That means Hefker can't be like Neder and Staka. Why? Dimitaras Neder Utzdaka V'Ada Yesh Yad LaNeder Utzdaka. We know what the rule is for Neder. There is a Yad. We know what the rule is for Staka. There is a Yad. So why wouldn't I know if there's a yad for hefker? If hefker is just another form of neder and staka, ve'echikasu kula mipshitus to hefker mitaras neder. How could they just say, "Oh, of course hefker is neder"? Kevin the higufa misapka b'shas. The Gemara itself is unsure. Imu mitaras staka olav, but tzarech iyun. Vayin drisha. The Ketzos is unhappy with this whole suggestion and is very uncomfortable with the idea that hefker is neder. So according to the Ketzos, we're good. Hefker is not neder. You can't do ataras nedarim, and therefore holy boy Mitchell A doesn't knock out kol chamira. But what if my name isn't the Ketzos HaChoshen? Now what do I do? How am I saying kol chamira every year? Now if you follow Rashi, holy boy Mitchell isn't the problem also. So Rashi also is justification. But otherwise, what do I do? How is it that we are mafkirit? So we have to understand.
What do the Sfarim do? We usually pasken according to the Rambam. And the
I think everybody says kol chamira. I think it's pretty universal. Yeah. The mincha is what time? 8:15? I think so, yeah. We have 9 minutes. So let's see if we can get through this. The Gemara in Pesachim discusses how bittul chametz works. The Gemara in Pesachim says that you do bittul, it's dalet amid beis there. Rashi says that you do bittul as a fulfillment of tashbisu. Okay? Bittul means a fulfillment of destroying chametz. It's actually another form of destruction. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that bittul is hefker. It's source tezvav. We won't go through it now because I want to make sure to wrap up in time. But Tosfos is there in source tezvav. Says that it's not a fulfillment of tashbisu, it's simply hefker. In other words, when on Erev Pesach I have chametz left, and I say, libata v'alei hefker, Rashi says it works because you've destroyed your chametz. Tosfos says it works because you don't own chametz anymore. Two different ways to understand how bittul works. Indeed, the Or Sameach, on the Rambam, in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yitzayin, Halacha Yud, uses this, kol chamira, as proof that you can't reverse hefker. Because if you could reverse Hefker, then we would have a problem. And the Ketzos in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Ayin Gimel, uses this to challenge the idea that Hefker is Neder. So they use this exact point. I want to know, how can you do Kol Chamira? So they say, you're right. You're 100% right. So either that proves that you can't reverse Hefker, or it proves that Hefker is not Neder. But there's another approach. There's another approach. Maybe the way you identify chametz as hefker is actually unique. And I saw this in a tshuva by the Sefer Beit Sha'ar, in the Sefer Beit Sha'ar, by Rav Amram Blum, who was a rav in Hungary and Slovakia in the 19th century. Brilliant idea. In Beit Sha'ar, Yeridaya Shin Yud, I liked it enough that I brought part of it here in Sursi Zion. He says, you know what? the Rambam rules in Hilchos Shavuos, it's in Source Tazayin, that you can't nullify a neder which benefits somebody else without his agreement. That's a basic principle. If you take a look at the Rambam there, Ruvein sheshbia l'Shimon v'ana amen, o kibel shvua, v'nichem Shimon al shvuaso v'nishal aleha, ein matzirin lo ela b'fnei Ruvein sheshbia. If you took a neder because someone compelled you to take a neder, right, or a shvua in the case here, you can't revoke it without the other person being present. So the Kesef Mishnah understands that line in the Rambam to not just be about a shvua that somebody else demanded, but being about a shvua that benefits another party. Anytime my shvua affects another party's welfare, I can't nullify the shvua stam, the other person has to be there. So, argues Rav Amram Blum, here, the hefker benefits the entire world, because now there's chametz, and all Jews, basically. This chametz is now ownerless, and therefore you need their das in order to revoke it. You need to have their das. Granted, there are poskim in Yeradeya, Reish Chav Ches, that this is only where the friend did a tova in exchange for the neder. Even still, you need the hatar b'fanav, even if you don't have his das in terms of his agreement, you need to do it in front of him. So therefore, this might be unique. In other words, maybe it's true. Maybe Hefker is a neder. And maybe the darm can be undone. And holy boy, Mitchell Alei really is a concern. But here, you don't have the ability to be matir neder because you would require everybody's cooperation in order for it to happen. That's one reason why this may be different. A second reason why it may be different is brought also in the Beit Sha'arim. He has a lot more about this. So does Rav Menashe Klein in his Mishnah Halachos. And that is the argument that it's nidre mitzvah. We could view this as nidre mitzvah. If it's a neder to fulfill a mitzvah, the Machane Ephraim in Hilchos Tzedakah Hay says charata doesn't work. It may work, charata may work regarding truma. We said you could do she'ela regarding truma, because you're doing a she'ela on this truma, but you're going to designate other things as truma. So therefore truma doesn't lose, the mitzvah is not truly undone. But here, you took a vow to do a mitzvah by getting rid of your chametz. If you're going to now say, I regret doing a mitzvah, there's no such thing as regretting doing a mitzvah.
I can't go back and burn it 2 seconds later.
You could theoretically, but that's not the same thing as the truma, where you're identifying something else as the truma. Right, it's identifying something else is not an undoing of your harata. Burning it the next minute is an undoing of your harata. So argues the Beit Sha'arim, maybe that's why this is different. Maybe in Echanami we're worried about holy boy Mitchell Alei, that you could back out of things, but here we're not. Because here we won't accept your harata. Because it's a neder to fulfill a mitzvah. That's a second reason. And then the third potential argument is, and this we'll close with, is that it's not really an act of being mafkir at all. Maybe this really isn't an act of being mafkir. You see, the Ran, in the beginning of Psachim, in Sois Yud Ches, questioned Tosfos, how is it that bitul works as hefker? Given that the language that you use is not hefker language, it's bitul language. Even though we throw in the word lehevi hefker ka'ara tiara, our fundamental language is bitul, right? Aside from saying libata, that's the language. That's number one. Number two, he says it's belave. I don't know why we do it verbally, but theoretically there's such a thing as bitul belave that you're doing in your heart. That's not how hefker works. Further, he says hefker usually requires that the item reached the reshus of the person who was acquiring it in order for it to be finalized. But here, it can't reach the zelcha. Now, you don't want someone acquiring your chametz. And in any case, the truth is, even if someone acquires it, it's not really his. Remember that chametz is one of the three items that you don't really own. It's just that halachically you're considered the owner for it to be liable. Right. So therefore, no Jew can acquire it. So he says, this isn't really true hefker, says the Ran. Rather, it's a gilui das that you don't want a zechus in it at all. It's a gilui das. You're demonstrating that you're not really interested in it. So again, to summarize what we've said, and hopefully be somewhat clear, the core sugya of shachaya taroa, right, we exclude the shalachem shal gavoa using one pasuk, because really what we mean is anything that is not shalcha, So we can do that even using a single pasuk. Number two, what about chametz owned in partnership? So the Pnei Yoshua raises this question and says that chametz is not subject to the rules of shalcha versus partners, the way we say regarding the esrog or other things. Number three, what if the chametz could become yours in the future? The discussion regarding baking the challah b'tumah on Pesach and worrying that it's going to become chametz, and are you liable and are you not? So our addition in the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer says that since you could recant, therefore bake it first to keep it from becoming chametz before you identify it as challah. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Rabbi Yeshua says, I don't care about your holy boy mitshalale that you might recant. That's one version. And the Tosos discusses that when it gets to the Gizbar, for sure you couldn't be Shoel. The Rashi's addition is to, Rashi rejects this idea of holy boy Mitchell Halei. He says it's a different Hoel that's under discussion there in the Gemara. It's about the issue of baking on Yom Tov, if it's going to be Challah and you can't benefit from it and so on. But fundamentally he rejects the idea of Iboy Mitchell Halei. Practical applications include Meiser Sheni, as well as the theoretical Bikurim, as well as items for which you vowed you're not going to get Hana. We said Truma and Challah will not actually be Nafkamina cases according to the Shagas Aryeh, because because here that would be considered Mamon, this Tovas Hana would be considered significant because of Lo Yimatzei, fine. And then we asked, well, what about making Chametz Hefker, the Kol Chamira that we do? If you accept the Rambam's view that making something Hefker is a Neder, then how does this work? Why don't we say Iboy Mitchell Ale, right? So, number one, we said that the Ran himself may not believe that this is a Neder. The Yavetz thinks the Ran does, but it says that the reason it doesn't work is it's a Neder Aldas Rabin. But the Ran himself, we're not sure. The Ktzos challenges the Rambam wanting to know his source. He doesn't like the source from the first parak in Nedarim about whether there's a Yad or whether there's no Yad. But if we don't accept the Ktzos' challenge, if we accept the Rambam, how is it that Kol Chamira works? So the answer is, number one, the Or Sameach says, you're right, that proves that you can't reverse Hefker. The Ktzos says, you're right, that proves that that Hefker is not a Neder. But the truth of the matter is, maybe Hefker is a Neder, and maybe Hefker is reversible. But Afkaras Chametz is unique, number one, because it benefits other people, and therefore you can't do Ataras Nedarim on this in particular without them. Number two, because it's Nidrei Mitzvah, and therefore you can't do Ataras Nedarim. And number three, because maybe it's not really, maybe what we do with the Chametz really isn't Hefker, it's Gilui Das, this revelation that you have no interest in owning it. All right, Shkaya.